that we started on, and I believe we can tonight. And we've been studying about how do you treat the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christian tonight, the Holy Spirit Himself lives inside you. This is not some kind of eerie, mystical, magical, weird thing we believe as Christians. It just, He comes to take up His permanent abode in the heart of a child of God, and He's in your body. He's actually in your body. And so we studied, there's several ways that you can treat the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus was baptized, He went down in the water like that, and when He came up, the Bible said the Holy Spirit descended in the form of what? Somebody tell me. A dove. So the dove is a picture of the Holy Spirit. A dove is a very delicate animal. A dove can be shooed away real easy. You take an old crow or a buzzard or something, boy, you about to shoot them things to run them off. But a dove, it can be offended real easy. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's inside you. So we studied in the Bible, in Ephesians 4:30, how He can be grieved. We studied in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, He can be quenched. And we studied in the Bible, Acts 5:3 and 4, He can be lied to. And we got into a big discussion last week about how you lie to the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira came in and they told Peter, we sold our land and we're giving all the money to the church. And Peter said, is that right? And they had conspired together to lie and only give part of it. And they held back and they lied. God killed both of them. God killed a man. 3 hours later, she came in. God killed her. And we talked about how that you can, during those times, it was hot spiritually. I mean, people was getting saved. People was getting raised from the dead. People was getting right. Thousands of people being saved. It was hot. And many times when God's blessings are really hot, His judgments are really severe at the same time. You know why terrible things ain't happening to America right now? There are some, but ain't nothing like it. The Lord just sort of backed off. We've grieved His Spirit, and He's just sitting back waiting. Son, when He lets go, y'all, when He lets go, you don't want to be around when God lets go. Thank God the rapture's coming. Amen. I heard a guy say something on a message I was listening to yesterday, the day before, and it was really good. We ought to get this put on our we ought to get a bumper sticker and bang him. Said, the rapture, real separation of church and state. Yes. Amen. That's shouting ground right there. And we're going to separate one of these days. And so the Lord's going to let go, and when He does, you don't want to be in the way. You don't want to be in the way. So if you missed the last two Wednesday nights, we studied deep on some theological truths on the Holy Spirit. Now tonight, we're going to talk about three things. He can be resisted. He can be blasphemed. But finally, He can be obeyed. And that's what we need to do. Obey the Spirit of the Lord. First of all, Acts chapter 7. I'm not going to preach tonight. We're just going to have a little Bible study. And you can help me if you can and will. Acts chapter number 7 and verse 51. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. Here's what He tells these people. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. That's pretty good preaching there, ain't it? You know what kind of preaching's right? Look what kind of preaching they did. And he was led by the Lord. You know what they'd tell you in most churches now? You ain't supposed to preach like that.
Yeah, you're right.
You shouldn't tell people they're stiff-necked. Really? The Holy Ghost was leading this man to. Yeah. When I hear that word stiff-necked, I picture some church members. Stiff-necked. Just look. You ain't going to make me change. I don't care what you say. I don't care what they got. That's what's wrong with Ed Sullivan. And people's had something wrong with them, you know. Stiff-necked. Bunch of old stiff-necked Baptists. brother, won't get right with God, won't. Stiff neck, just, it reminds you of somebody that just stubs up and says, I don't care what you preach, I'm still going to do what I want to do. That's stiff necked. If you got a brain in your head, I'll tell you what you'll do. And I ain't saying this because I'm a preacher. If you got a brain in your head, this is what you'll do. You'll come, if it's me preaching or anybody else, if you hear it on the radio, you'll say, Lord, boy, what he said was right. I need to work on that. You'll submit yourself. Don't get stiff-necked against the Word of God. If a man even mentions that scripture about how a wife or some women go, that's a stiff neck. If a man even mentions sometime about a man being willing to die for his wife, some men go, that's stiff neck. You better take that word. You better take that word. Whatever that word says, you better take it. And I'm telling you, you better not stiffen your neck, because it'll break you. It'll break you. You won't break it. It'll break you eventually. You ain't gonna. Me and somebody might argue from daylight till dark, but if you pull a verse of scripture on me, I'm beat. Okay, you're right. I'm wrong. You're right. I ain't arguing with the scripture just to prove I'm smart. I was arguing with a guy one time, and he kept saying this wasn't right and that wasn't right. I said, brother, the Bible says, and he is a preacher. I said, the Bible says. He said, I don't care what the Bible says. That's the attitude you don't want right there. I don't care what the Bible says. You better care. It'll bust your brains out. You know, whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it'll grind into powder. You don't stub up against that right there. Don't stub up. If he pulls a scripture out of, it's like, you know, if I'm fighting this guy, pow, pow, hit me. When he pulls out a gun, I'm ready to stop. My part of the fight's over. Amen. Pull out a gun, brother. The fighting's over. That's what I'd have to do. You know, get your equalizer. The Lord, when he pull that scripture on you, you better just buckle down and say, okay, God's right, I'm wrong. It's not who's right, it's what's right. What's right? Well, quickly tonight, look at this. Verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a doctrine, we won't take time to get into it tonight. Some of you are not even familiar with it, called Calvinism. And preachers, a lot of Calvinistic. And many, many Baptist preachers are Calvinistic. And John Calvin is the beginner that started the Presbyterian Church, which majors in their belief in predestination and foreordaining and God predestinating things from again. Basically, we won't study it tonight. Sometime we will, I promise. Lord willing, we'll study it in detail. God knows everything that's going to happen. God knows everything before it happens. God does not make your choice for you. You can resist the Holy Ghost. That verse said they resisted the Holy Ghost. One of the 5 points of Calvinism, and you'd be surprised at the preachers that y'all love that are what we call Calvinist. And Calvinistic preaching and belief will kill soul winning. No preacher that believes like that, unless he's a nut, has a bus ministry or goes out knocking on doors. And you know why they don't? Because they believe that everybody's going to be saved is going to be saved anyway, and God's ordained it to happen, and it's going to happen, and ain't nothing we can do about it. And if that's true, I'd sell them buses next week, and we wouldn't give another dime to a missionary, if that's true. And you'd be shocked at the preachers that believe that. You would be shocked. They have certain phrases that give them away. Like, don't get up and walk out. Listen to me, like, I wasn't looking for him, he is looking for me. Now that's true. That is true to a certain extent. But you was looking for him, not you got saved. He deals with you, he convicts you, but then you're gonna want him. Amen? That's like a man saying, I told his wife, well, I chose you to be my wife. She said, well, I chose you to be my husband too. They chose each other. The Lord chose you and you chose him. And you wasn't chose to be saved before you were saved. The Bible said we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The key is in Christ. You wasn't in Christ before the foundation of the world. God chose to, before the foundation of the world, to save everybody that gets in Jesus Christ. That's what the verse says. Am I right, Brother Derek? God, before the foundation of the world, chose to save everybody that would trust Jesus Christ. You are not chosen to be saved before you're saved. And I know these people on YouTube that'll hear this, that'll blow their mind, but they're out of their mind, brother. You're not chosen to be saved before you're saved. You ain't. Nobody is. You say, well, God already knew. Of course He knows. That's foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is a lot different than predestination. When you get saved, you are predestined to become just like Jesus Christ, and you will become like Jesus Christ. We are predestined in Christ. You are not. Here's a man that said one time. He said, "But see, I was saved before I was ever born again. I just didn't know it." I said, "You wasn't either, because the Bible said that we were without hope." And if you was already ordained to be saved and your name was in the book of life before the foundation of the world, there never was a time when you was without hope.
That's right.
Buddy, I'm telling you, before you got saved, if you'd have died, you'd have went to hell.
Right. Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes, sir. If you'd have got killed before you got saved, you'd have went to hell.
That's right.
Amen? That's called limited atonement and irresistible grace. TULIP. Let me give you the 5 points of TULIP. I don't have time. Lordy mercy, we got to get into the bad stuff here in a minute. About blaspheming the Holy Ghost. TULIP. T, total depravity. That does not extend to the will, so that's not real. That's not in the Bible. 2, U, unconditional election. That means God elected certain people to be saved before they was ever born, and they didn't have a choice. L, limited atonement. That means when it says Jesus died for everybody, it means the elect everybody. It don't really mean everybody. Limited atonement. Christ died for our sins. It don't mean He died for Charles Manson's sins. You say, well, it says He died for all. They think that means the elect all. Because if He died for people that never accepted Him, His death would be in vain. That's what they teach. Limited atonement. What's a I? Irresistible grace. And P, perseverance of the saints. That number 5 there, the P, is the only one that's really scriptural. The other 4 are unscriptural when you get right down to it. And if you hear a preacher say, I'm a 2-point Calvinist or a 3-point Calvinist or I'm a 4-point Calvinist, there's no such, if you're a 2-point, you're an all point. You can't believe any 2 of them without accepting the other 3. If you believe the last one, you can get by all right, but not the other 4. T-U-L-I. Now that might be completely foreign to what some of y'all have heard, but if you'll listen to what I'm saying, I'm right. I know, and I'm right because I'm telling what the Bible said. Let's just imagine that all these leaves are people. All right, let's just imagine that I'm God in heaven. All right, I'm looking down. I choose to save that one, that one, that one, and that one before they're ever born. And I create the world. And then Christ dies on the cross, and He dies for them. Every one of them is going to come and be saved. Them other ones, they ain't going to. Now that's true as far as foreknowledge. God knows who's going to be saved.
Amen.
He does know this one, this one, that one. But He does not make that choice for us. He does not. It's wrong. That's false. That's heresy, y'all. And I've heard preachers say, bless God, let me make sure I quote this right. The high sheriff of heaven come and arrested my soul and makes it sound like the Lord hemmed you up in a corner and you were kicking and screaming and He grabbed you and saved. That's the impression you get. That ain't right neither. I heard a preacher getting up and saying, well now, if you don't know if you're one of the elect and I don't know if you're one of the elect, but you can come down here and try and pray. If you're one of the elect, God will save you. But we don't know who is and who ain't. And if He's not dealing with you, you can't be saved. And that's crazy talk. That's crazy. Nobody can want to get saved unless God is dealing with them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It draws you and convicts you. You know what made you want to get saved? Conviction. But God didn't just jerk you up and save you. Now the question is, does He do that to everybody? And the answer is yes. If I be lifted up, I will what? Draw all men. Now they don't believe that. They believe that means all the elect. And you know how you know you're teaching false doctrine? When you have to add a word that ain't in the verse or take a word out of the verse. Y'all ought to shout. They don't get this 90% of the places. I'm telling you, you have to take a verse. You have to take a word out of the verse to make it teach what you want. Or you have to put a word in the verse that make it teach what you want. You got the wrong teaching, buddy. Amen. When He said all, He means all. Amen. He don't mean all the elect. If you have to add the elect to make it teach your doctrine, see, it's like he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. If you have to say, well, that means you have to live right till you die to make it teach your doctrine, you're teaching false doctrine. In the context, he that shall endure to the end shall be saved, the end of the tribulation in Matthew 24. Lordy mercy, I wasn't even going to spend no time on this tonight, but the truth is the Holy Spirit can be resisted by lost people and saved people. We saved people can resist the Holy Spirit. I've done it many times. Man, come on, you know better than that. Well, I've resisted Him, haven't you? How many times have you felt like the Lord wanted you to do something and you didn't do it? Amen. Or you felt like you ought to give something and you didn't give? Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Hadn't you ever said, a preacher said, boy, we need some money. And a little voice said, you ought to do that. Well, that ain't the Lord. That's just my emotions. But if it's something you want to do, it's the Lord, ain't it? If it's something you don't want to do or it involves time and money, it ain't the Lord. We know what it's like to resist the Holy Spirit. We're not going to have time to get to a lot of this now, but let's hurry. Let's hurry. All right? Did you have your hand raised, bro?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about what you were just talking about before you started talking about it. After we get saved, you know, the scripture says that we're not our own anymore, but we've been bought with Christ.
Right.
And that all things work together for our good.
Yep.
Who love God are called according to His purpose. So, I do believe to an extent that we have a free will still.
Absolutely. After we get saved. You do.
And we
you do.
Resist the Holy Spirit, but this, on the other hand, I still kind of feel like. Kind of like Jonah did, you know, he resisted going to Nineveh.
Yeah.
But God got him there.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't how he wanted to go, but he yeah. went. You know?
He had to go get his degree from Whale.
That's right. And I just feel like, you know, generally speaking, I mean, don't we end up where God wants us to go?
Well, no, not necessarily. You end up in heaven, but you don't necessarily... If you can stub up and stub up and stub up and die in the hospital with AIDS or in jail or something, and that ain't maybe where God wanted you to be. You can stub up on God and you'll pay a price for it. That don't mean you're not saved. Jonah was saved. But what you're saying is, are you going to wind up doing God's will anyway? Not necessarily. No, I don't think that. You got a free will to get in, but you don't got a free will to get out as far as salvation. You have a free will to get in. Once you're in the family, you don't get out. You don't get out of family. You can't get out of your regular family once you're in it. My girls back there tonight, all three of them back there, they're mine no matter what, brother. Bad, good, ugly. I mean, that's their three names. Don't tell them I said that. Good, bad, and ugly. They'll be fighting over which one's which. But you know what? They're my kids no matter what. And you're God's kid no matter what. You're God's child. He may have to beat your brains out, but He's going to get you there one way or the other. And He will beat your brains out if you force Him to. He's a good father. He's a good father. He don't let His kids get away with anything. But on this thing about resist, the word resist means to oppose, push back, or obstruct. You heard people on TV, they're accused of obstruction of justice. Like, you know that, where you do something to keep the judge from getting justice served. That's what resisting means. To oppose, push back. If the Lord's leading you to do something, you push back. So I ain't going to do it. Listen, it's like this. If every one of us, including me, would completely obey the Lord for the next 2 weeks, there's no telling what might happen to that youth rally. There's no telling. Listen, if God's people, if every Christian in America all of a sudden is going to obey God and everything, Lord, we could have national revival, people. I mean, there's no God. The problem ain't with God. I mean, Lord, he can do anything he's ever done. Listen, it's nothing with the Lord to save by many or few. He can save 10,000 people as easy as he can save one. Just like that. Nothing. Nothing. He can save 100 million as easy as he can save two little kids in Sunday school. The problem's with us. Now, this predestination thing is something you got to watch out for because it's a mindset. It's a mindset. I've heard preachers preach against soul winning. See, they accuse us of what say easy believism. That means anybody soul winner is guilty of easy believism. And that means you can't, and I don't think, you just can't just go to their heart, you believe Jesus died on the cross, oh, you shake my hand, glory to God, you're saved. I know that it ain't like that. I know a person's got to do it from their heart. I understand that. But they believe that some weird feeling comes over you about twice in your life, and if you don't get saved right then, you're done. And that ain't true. That ain't true and it ain't scriptural. They believe that everything is ordained ahead of time. You heard about the two Presbyterian preachers walking down the road, and one of them stumped, tripped, and broke his leg. And, oh, Lord, he said, I'm glad that's over with. That's what they believe. That went right over y'all's head. But they believe that everything was meant to be. Whatever's meant to be. No, you just stupid wasn't watching where you was going. It wasn't ordained from the foundation of the world. As these boys arguing about that said, everything's meant to be, is everything what is to be will be. If it's meant to be, it's going to happen. That ain't right. That ain't right. 99% of the stuff that's happening right now ain't meant to be.
That's right, amen.
Amen. Lord, that's blasphemy to say everything in America is meant to be. These guys is fussing about it one time, and a preacher, and he held up, he was at a camp meeting something. He said, you see, it was preordained from the foundation of the world for me to eat this piece of chicken. And he went like that, and another guy grabbed it and said, no, it wasn't either. So you can't say that everything is preordained from the foundation of the world. It ain't. It ain't. I can step this way. I can turn around and do that. You say, well, that was meant to be. Well, we're robots then. We're robots. Something else is controlling it. That ain't right. You have a will. You have a free will to get saved, and you can resist the Holy Ghost. A person said, well, you can't resist it. Yes, he can be resisted. He can be grieved. Lord have mercy. We're not even going to have time to get into the heavy part of this. He is not irresistible. I hear people all the time say, the Lord told me the night I got saved, if I didn't get saved that night, I was going to go to hell. Now, he might have told you that, but there's an awful lot of people says that. I don't know if that's right or not. It ain't scriptural. The Bible don't say that. I'm not saying it can't happen. Maybe he did tell you that. Maybe you felt like that. I felt. I remember the night I got saved. I can't even remember how. I felt like I was going to blow up if I didn't go to that altar. I mean, it was just like, I'm telling you, I knew there was a heaven, I knew there was a hell, and something just busted loose inside me. The night I got saved, and I went to the altar, and I got saved. But God did not grab me and jerk me up and put me down on that altar and save me, whether I wanted to or not. I told you the story last week. I preached revival. I had a man tell me who was a deacon. I preached revival down to church, and he was all mad at me and said I shouldn't even be preaching and stuff like that. And he said, man, you shouldn't even be preaching. And I said, well, I bet them 11 people that got saved last week don't feel like that. I said, I had 11 people saved in revival last week. I bet they're glad I preached. And he said, they would have got saved anyway. You see that doctrine? And I thought, that's why you never would go on visitation or go soul winning. Because in his mind, he thinks, well, the elect's going to get saved anyway. And guess what? The elect are going to get saved. But anybody that wants to can be in the elect. Anybody you win to Jesus are in the elect. Can you get that? Now, our little pea brains can't understand that because you got the sovereignty of God, the free will of man, and they're like two train tracks going down here. They're both in the Bible. God is sovereign. God does know the end from the beginning. God knows everything. But man has a free will, and he can choose whatever he wants to choose. And you say, well, that's hard to understand. Of course it is. Just because you can't understand it don't mean it ain't right. All right. Question right quick. Comment. He is not irresistible. You can resist him. Irresistible grace is a false doctrine. No such thing. No such thing in the Bible. I think the verse you're talking about, he was talking to the disciples, and many are called, few are chosen. That's the verse you're referring to. I think most preachers teach that as service. Is that right? Many are called, few are chosen. Like he chose those apostles especially to be preachers and teachers. They were chosen. Many were called. Few were chosen. That don't mean that the Lord calls everybody to be saved, but just chooses a few of us, and the rest of them, too bad, tough. They got as much opportunity to get saved as we do. Now, the way the Lord dealt with you before you got saved, you may feel like it was all Him and not you, but it wasn't. It was Him calling and you answering. You responded. You can respond to the Holy Spirit or you can resist the Holy Spirit. And it's false doctrine, I'm telling you, it's false doctrine to teach people that God ordained to save a certain few before the foundation of the world and the rest of the people have no choice. That ain't right. That ain't right. And I don't care if Dr. Bottle Stopper's got 10,000 degrees behind his name to pop a thermometer, it ain't right. It's not scriptural. You can resist him. You can say no and die and go to hell. Do what now?
He said that if God handpicks people for heaven, then he leaves the rest alone for hell.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. If you pick certain ones out to save them, you're automatically picking others out to go to hell.
That's right.
And that's any of the elect men.
And
yeah. Any man hear my voice that was chosen, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. There again, you have to add a word, huh?
That don't even make sense. If they're chosen, they would open the door. So their own doctrine don't make sense if you take it to its logical conclusion.
See, there's verses, it's just like every other false doctrine. There's certain verses that seem, it's just like losing your salvation or anything else. There's verses that you could read and think, Lord, maybe that, maybe. But if you take the whole thing and rightly divide it, you're right, don't make sense. Dr. Ruckman says that John Calvin was a bright and shining light in his day. That was hundreds of years ago. There's a lot learned about Scripture since John Calvin was here. And the Presbyterian Church sprang out of the teachings of John Calvin and the Baptists that picked it up, namely Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher, but his sermons were like 20% Calvinistic, 80% really, really good. And people who are Bible believers, that's what we call ourselves, Bible believers. We don't even call ourselves fundamentalists. Fundamentalists, somebody just believes the fundamentals. Some Catholics believe that. We're Bible believers, meaning we believe the Bible, just like it is. We don't call ourselves, I get accused all the time, people say, you evangelicals. We're not evangelical. We are Bible believers. Amen? We are Bible believers. I ain't no evangelical. I ain't no just a fundamentalist. I believe the fundamentals, but I'm a Bible believer. The fundamentals are the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, the second coming, create, going God. One, I mean, glory to anybody. I mean, Jimmy Carter believes that. But he ain't a Bible believer in the sense that we believe the Bible. Okay? Lord, one day we'll take a whole study of that. Here's something for you to think about. Were you quickened before you believed? Or did you believe before you were quickened? Quickened means made alive. You know what a true Calvinist teaches? They teach that you can't believe till God awakens you and quickens you. That ain't right. That's false doctrine. The second you believe, He quickens you. Whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So always, you got to come to Him. Always. I say, well, a lost person can't come to Him. Yes, they can. I did. You did. That's how you got saved.
Amen.
They come to Jesus all the way through the Bible. Yes. You do come to Him. You say, well, there's nothing in a lost person that would make them want to come. When yeah, there is, too. You have a will. Whosoever will. You have a will. And when you see your need as a sinner, He brings conviction.
Amen.
But you got to come. Now, can you get saved without being under conviction? No, of course not. That Holy Spirit conviction, but it ain't near what a lot of people claim it is. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto thee. That means the Lord pulls on everybody. I'll give you something to think about. I hate to do that right before youth rally. We need to be getting down on our knees begging God to help us. But remember that. Remember this. A Calvinistic doctrine is sort of like saying it's fatalism. It's fatalism. And you have this easy believism on one side and fatalism on the other side. And as always, Bible believers right down the middle. As always. That's hard to do. Anybody got a question right quick before we stop? Yes. Now that's a whole different study, brother. The Jews are God's chosen earthly people. Yes, they sure are. But God chose them because Abraham believed and became the friend of God and became the father of the Jewish nation. Just like right now, we are His chosen people spiritually. But He didn't choose us before we were saved. He knew it, but He didn't choose us before we were saved because the Bible said we were without hope. See, if we were saved from, if your name was in the book of life at the foundation of the world, you were never without hope. You're in, buddy. I don't care what you did, right? But we were without hope. That means your name wasn't. Let me ask you a question. When was your name put in the book of life? Now there's some scripture. There are some scriptures talking about the names from the foundation of the world. But it don't say at the foundation of the world. It says from the foundation of the world. There's no scripture that says God wrote down Danny Castle, Dusty, Jim, Derek, before the foundation of the world. Everybody that's got saved from the foundation of the world, God put their name in the book of life. You got to be careful. That's a two-edged sword. It'll cut your head off if you don't read it right. When was your name put in the book of life? You know what we're saying? There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, and it's mine. We believe the night you got saved. If it was in there before you got saved, that means lost people's in the book of life. That ain't right, is it? When was it, brother?
We ain't got time tonight. That would open up a whole new discussion.
What are you saying? I'm wrong?
No, I don't.
Oh yeah. I went through that years ago. Yeah. Yeah. What he's saying is everybody's name's in there, and if you die not saved, the Lord blots your name out. Yeah. Well, I went through that. We studied on that a long time ago. I've heard that before. I don't believe that's right, but I have heard that. Anybody else?
I've been through both courses of Wesleyan and Arminian too. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's hard to reconcile. You can't reconcile the sovereignty of God and free will of man. It's just, it's like two train tracks going down the road. They don't ever cross. God is sovereign. God does know everything, but man has a responsibility. You can't get off on either one of them. It ain't all man, and it ain't all God. Listen, don't feel bad if you're a little bit confused over this. The greatest minds that's ever been in the history of the Christian church couldn't figure this out. I ain't got it figured out. Best I know, I have as much as I can, but there's still questions that come up that I can't answer. So don't feel bad if you can't figure it out. Nobody else can either. That's why somebody said, if I understood everything in the Bible, I'd know somebody wrote it that didn't have no more sense than I got. Amen. Anybody else? Right quick, before we go. All right. Amen.